AYT. Gina Alexandria. 88.1. Gospel Radio, serving all of Senla at 88.1.
Welcome to Three of Us Ministries with Messenger Metric McGillender on KAYT, KQJO-FM.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Look what the Lord has done. Awake, awake, put on thy strength, O Zion. Put on thy beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. For henceforth there shall no more come into thee the uncircumcised and the unclean. Oh, hallelujah. Praise be to his holy name. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. Oh, thank you, Jesus. And thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. For Jesus Christ is Lord, and the Lord is God. The stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner. This was the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in our eyes. Oh, yes, Lord, Jesus Christ is Lord. And oh yeah, and look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord has done. Oh, I thank you so much. Thanks be to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit for another opportunity to lift my voice on high and declare his holy truth that Jesus Christ is Lord and he has come in the flesh and did a marvelous work to save our wretched souls. Oh, praise be to his holy name. Oh, it's good to be here still among the living. The devil put out a rumor that I was dead, and the devil lied and said I was at the funeral home. You know, I tell a little some truth and some lie. Well, the truth of the matter is I am dead, but I'm here in Christ. Oh, praise be to his holy, holy name. Oh, I love my job. I love this job so much. I do this job for free. For freely he's given me this. And freely I have to give it away. Oh, praise be to his holy name. Well, let me get the word. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. We'll get home as with your Bibles. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11 is where this teaching began. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Praise be to his holy name. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11 declares, wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called circumcision in the flesh made by hands. In other words, this is folks that they are religious. And they're saying you are religious, and they're saying God really is not dealing with you, but God is dealing with us because we are righteous, but their righteousness is self-righteousness, and their religion is of the flesh, and it's not of God. Well, verse 12, then that at that time you were without Christ, being alien from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant and the promise, having no hope and without God in the world. You see, in the beginning, God made some promises to Israel that he made to no other nation. He made some promises to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob that those promises was forbidden for anyone else other than Israel. Verse 13 says, but now, oh yes, Lord, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Well, see, now because of the marvelous work Jesus did on the cross, not only is this salvation for the Jews, but also for the Gentiles because of that wonderful work that he did for us on that old rugged cross. And verse 14 says, "For he is our peace, whom had made both one and had broken down the middle wall of partition between us." In other words, that's no more Jew, but we are both Jew and Gentile, and both of us now can run to Jesus and trust him with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, and all of our strength. And verse 15 says, "And abolished in the flesh the entity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinance, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace." In other words, that marvelous work that Jesus did on the cross was to bring us together, both Jew and Gentiles, as one twin, one new man, as the bride of Christ. In verse 16, "And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the entity thereby." In other words, the work Jesus did on the cross, he took sin out of the way. And because of that precious blood of the Lamb, now we're able to have fellowship, both Jew and Gentile, with our Father. And verse 17 says, "And came and preached peace unto you, which were far off, and to them that were nigh." But where the Jews were nigh and the Gentiles was considered far off, because the promises was not to them, but now all of this has changed. And verse 18, "For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father." You see, when we say through him, in him, you're talking about a baptism of death with Christ Jesus. Let's turn right quick to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13, and it says, "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit." Oh, praise be to his holy name. And verse 19, "Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God." In other words, now there's no strangers. The Gentiles have the same promises that the Jews. In verse 20, "And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone." That cornerstone, meaning that foundation is Jesus Christ and him crucified. This is the foundation. Let's go right quick to Matthew chapter 7. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. Matthew chapter 7. And we want to look at verse 24 to 27. Matthew chapter 7, 24 to 27, and it says, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and do them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the wind blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that hear these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." Verse 21 says, "In whom all the buildings fitly framed together growed up into a temple, a holy temple in the Lord." So this is what God is doing to the bride of Christ. He's building a house, a holy temple. And verse 22 says, "In whom ye also are built together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. He's building a house with us. Every step of obedience, another piece of that house is put together. Every time the Holy Spirit says do something, we do it, another part of that house is put together. He's building a house, a holy temple, where he can dwell and he can move through and he can do miracles, he can do signs, and he can do wonders. Oh, good God Almighty. Okay, chapter 3, verse 1, and it says, for this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles. Anyone listen, ever been in prison, ever been in jail? You know, I 23 years ago, I was in the parish jail in cell 213 or 313, 317, one of them. But the point being, my movement was restricted. I was limited as to what I could do. Well, this is what Paul is saying. He's a prisoner of Christ, meaning his movement now is restricted. As we come into Jesus, our movements are restricted. What we do now is restricted. We can't do what we used to do. We can't say what we used to say. Our movements are restricted by the power of the Holy Spirit. In verse 2, it says, and if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given to me, to you, what, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afar in a few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Okay, let's turn here to Colossians. See, the mystery is God, Jesus, living inside of a holy vessel. That's the mystery. You know, God living inside of man. But just like the devil can be inside of a person and they lose their whole mind, well, God can live inside a person, not only one person, but many people at one time, and he can work his works. Let's turn to Colossians chapter 1, verse 26, and let's see something here. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Colossians chapter 1, verse 26. Praise be to your holy name. Lord, what an awesome God we serve. Colossians chapter 1, verse 26, and it says, even the mystery which had been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest in his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Oh, praise be to his holy name. In verse 6, the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. By the gospel. Okay, let's go here to Matthew chapter 10. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. I mean, what an awesome God we serve. Oh, let's turn here to Matthew chapter 10, verse 38 and 39. And let's see what it says. Matthew chapter 10. Verse 38 and 39, and it says, and this is Jesus speaking, by the way, he that taketh not his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. And he that findeth his life shall lose it. And he that loses his life for my sake shall find it. Okay, let's go here to Mark chapter 8. Verse 34 and 35. This is still Mark chapter 8, verse 34 and 35. Okay, Mark chapter 8, 34 and 35. And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples, he said unto them, this is Jesus again now speaking, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel, the same shall save it. Then verse 7 goes on to say in Ephesians chapter 3, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of grace of God, given unto me by the efficient working of the power.